Head to Subway for the tangy new Tuscan Chicken Melt, seasoned chicken, melted cheese, and olive vinaigrette. With 9 grams of fat, it's part of a Subway Fresh Fit meal, a simpler way to enjoy eating better. Hurry in today. Subway. Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. We're taping this on a Monday. It's going to run on a Tuesday. I called my buddy Jacko, diehard Yankee fan, at work to talk about his first trip at Yankee Stadium, Yankees Red Sox stuff, Mariano Rivera, David Ortiz, and a whole bunch of other things. On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, here it is.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Oh, Johnny!
What's up, buddy?
Just getting dressed for the funeral.
The funeral?
Yeah, Mariano Rivera's baseball career. The funeral's tomorrow. You didn't hear?
I was unaware of this, no.
Yeah, I'm going to the wake. They're having the wake first, then the funeral's tomorrow. So I'm going to go to the wake today.
Because I was there yesterday, live and in person, as he shut down the mighty Tampa Bay Rays.
You're going to really use the phrase shut down?
I'm going to use the phrase shut down. 1-2-3, baby, just like the old days.
Any strikeouts in the mix?
Yeah, he struck somebody out.
He did?
He did. He struck out the second batter of the inning. I forget who it was.
I'm going to have to go online and check this out. Tell us about your virgin experience at Yankee Stadium while you research your Rivera lies.
There was a strikeout, and you will see it, and then you're going to owe me an apology.
Okay.
It was fantastic. I love the new stadium. It's bright. It's airy. It's got wide hallways and roomy areas. It was fantastic.
Oh, hold on, Johnny. I stand corrected. Rivera struck out Greg Gross.
There you go.
Or Gabe Gross, I'm sorry.
Who also had earlier in the game had a two-run single off of Jabba. So it's nothing. No small feat to strike out the mighty Gabe Gross.
Not bad. Okay, so Yankee Stadium.
Do you want to apologize for questioning me now?
No, I listen, you did what you had to do. Yankee Stadium. So parking. Let's start traffic.
We didn't. There was no traffic and no parking involved because we took the all new Metro North train from New Haven, Connecticut. Drove down to New Haven, Connecticut, and took the train. There's a station right next to the old Yankee Stadium. There's a very helpful people to guide you and direct you, and you get off the train and you walk over the old walkway that used to take you from the parking lot to the old Yankee Stadium, and you walk by it.
That used to be frightening back in the day.
Yeah, now it's like it's not as frightening as it used to be.
Okay.
And you walk through there, and of course it was the daytime too, that helped. But you walk through, and you walk by the old stadium, and you look up, and you get a little wistful, a little tear in your eye, and then you see the bright, shining new beacon of New Yankee Stadium.
So they haven't knocked down old Yankee Stadium?
It's still standing. It's walled off. They have like blue construction walls, so you can't get access to it at all. You know, you'd have to scale the wall and hop a fence to get in there. It's all fenced off, so you can't go and chip away pieces of concrete for mementos, but it's still there. It's still standing. And then you walk across the street to the new Yankee Stadium, which was just fantastic.
Did you have one of those moments like Rusty in European Vacation 2 or whatever that movie was where you saw the new stadium and you're like, you're not the stadium?
I did have some of that, but it looks just like a shining gem. It looks so nice that you're just drawn in. It's kind of like your old thing about Rocky when, what was his name? Apollo Creed's trainer, when Apollo Creed died, and then he started to train Rocky.
Yeah.
He used to always do the speech about when Apollo died, a part of me died too, but now you're the one.
Yeah.
He immediately latched onto Rocky. That's what I felt like. I looked at the old stadium, and I'm like, when they closed you down, a part of me died too, but then I looked at the new stadium and said, but now you're the one.
There you go.
So, yeah, we took the train. I mean, the train couldn't have been any easier. It was just fantastic. And I know you're a big fan of the trains. So,
I love the trains. How much did that cost you?
Let's see. Two round-trip tickets from New Haven were $59. So it's like $15 each way.
So parking would have been like $30 and gas and traffic. Yeah, I think that is better.
Just the cost of not having to deal with traffic and sit in traffic for 2 hours and, you know, cursing at people in New York and trying to get through there. Like, without that kind of stress and strain, it was worth it. Just
Absolutely.
Relax on the train, you know, it was good.
Where were your seats?
Our seats were in what's called the Bleacher Cafe, which is kind of like Yankee Stadium's version of the Green Monster seats, I believe.
Mm.
So we were in the very first row in center field. And you're kind of like, you know, you're looking right down on the field. You get a, you know, you're far away from home plate, but you get a huge expanse of the whole field. And right behind you, like three short rows up, is a full service concession stand. And right next to us are the center, right to your right, are the center field cameras. So it's basically the view you would get from the center field cameras on TV.
Home run territory?
No, God, no. I mean, you're up beyond, like, it's kind of like what would be known as the black in the old Yankee Stadium. So guys reach the black, but I think this is a little further back. This would be a mammoth home run to reach.
So home run territory if Chin Ming Wong is pitching.
possibly. But with Jabba and Matt Garza, no such luck.
Yeah.
But, the new Yankee Stadium, I mean, you know, stuff's a little pricey, but, you know, a beer and a souvenir cup was $10. A beer and a non-souvenir cup was $9.
Ugh.
Two hot dogs and a beer was $20. A big thing of soda and a souvenir cup was $6. But we were walking to our seats, and I noticed they had this sign for the Yankee Museum. So of course I was salivating on the Yankee Museum, and I wanted to go check that out. And so we went there, and it was like a huge line. That we got there about a half hour before the game. It was an enormous line to get in there. So I was a little disappointed. But then, because we were sitting in the direct sunlight, and although I had sunblock on my fair Irish skin, I was worrying about developing third degree sunburn. So. We were walking around the stadium to check it all out, and I'm like, well, this will be a good opportunity to check out the Yankee Museum. And, I mean, it's just fantastic, the Yankee Museum. They have, like, Lou Gehrig's jersey from the 1927 Yankees. They have the jersey Babe Ruth wore in the 1932 World Series when he called this shot. I mean, they almost had to peel me off of the glass. They have Thurman Munson's locker under glass. I mean,
really?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
how long did they keep that in the real locker room? It was like a couple years, right?
No, forever. It was there from 1979 until it was in the locker room last year. When they closed down the stadium, they moved it over now to the Yankee Museum.
Oh, I didn't know that. So they kept that for 30 years. Wow.
Yeah, 30 years. That was in the corner locker right next to Jeter's, where the captain has his locker. His was behind glass, just the way he left it.
Hmm. What else do they have?
They have the World Series trophies, and I actually learned something interesting, that there was only 6 World Series trophies there, and there was a sign, and it said, if you're wondering why they didn't have any more, it's because they didn't start awarding a trophy for the World Series until 1967.
Really?
Yeah, there was no trophies before that.
I feel like our friend the Blue Boy there. Really?
I know. I did a really, too. So they have 77, 78, and then the 4 from the 90s.
Wow.
And the one from 2000. So that was exciting. It was, and they have life-size statues of Yogi Berra in a catcher's crouch and catcher's gear. And then 60 feet, 6 inches away, they have Don Larsen pitching to him for his perfect game. And then all along the arc of the ball, they have a glass case with autographed baseballs from all the great Yankees that played for the Yankees, all autographed baseballs by them.
Do they have a statue of Mel Hall hitting on an underage girl?
Sadly, there is no Mel Hall representation.
That'd be awesome.
If there's a suggestion box, I'll leave that there next time.
What else does the museum have? Anything else?
No, they have like a plethora of bats and balls from great moments. They have some watch that Joe DiMaggio got for the 1937 World Series. They have one of his. They have one of his jerseys. They have like sections of it are broken down by different eras. So they have like the Babe Ruth era. And then they have the Lou Gehrig era of the Yankees from the 30s. And then they have, like, the DiMaggio Mantle eras. And then they have the Reggie Jackson era, which is a little painful to have it called the Reggie Jackson era.
And I don't know if I would have called it the Reggie Jackson era.
And then the current era is called the Derek Jeter era, which is exciting.
What else could that have been called?
You could have called it the Joe Torre era, arguably, but...
No, I'm saying the Reggie Jackson era. What are the other alternatives?
Well, they could have gone Billy Martin era, I suppose, but they probably don't... That's a little too controversial as well, but I never really considered Reggie Jackson like a true Yankee. I know he's like a vice president in charge of something now, but...
I would have gone hyphen. Like the Reggie Jackson, Thurman Munson era or something.
Or like the Bronx Zoo era, but they probably don't want to acknowledge that either, because that's not really, you know, politically correct in Yankee terms either, but...
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know, Reggie Jackson era, I just, you know, I mean, my favorite player in those days was Greg Nettles, but they're probably not going to call it the Greg Nettles era.
Yeah, it's been the Roy White era.
Yeah,
that's selling point.
Not quite the same. So,
Goose Gossage? I mean, he did show up in 77 or 78?
78, because 70, 77, they had Sparky Lyle.
But then you got to cover 76, too.
Yeah.
They made it without Reggie that year. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Maybe the Munson era. Maybe that's what they should have gone
with. But he died in 79, though, and they made the series in 81.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have gone the Munson-Reggie hyphen.
Yeah. Throw Thurman a bone there.
And I would have gone, instead of Jeter, I would have called it the David Well, we cheated to win these, David Wells steroids, we cheated to win four World Series era.
Yeah, that's a lot to print, though. So that's going to take up some room on the glass.
The PED era.
Okay, Manny and Big Poppy.
Okay. Oh.
Okay, Pot, calling the kettle black.
Come on. Big Poppy's got, he's having eyesight problems.
Yeah, exactly, right.
He went to the ophthalmologist. They're waiting for results this week.
I was out to dinner Saturday night, and unfortunately the restaurant I was in, they had the Red Sox game on the TV there.
I know where you're going with this. I hope O'Connell doesn't see this.
He dinks one off of Pesky's pole.
It's like
outside of Pesky's pole, by the way. It was
290 footer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have a curtain call for him.
It was humiliating.
Outrageous.
It was a home run that like Mark Belanger would hit once a year in the 70s. And the curtain call was a bit much. The worst part was he didn't even want to come out for the curtain call.
I know. Terry Francona had to grab him by the jersey and like physically pull him out. Even he knew it was embarrassing.
Yeah, he was like, his back was turned to the camera, and he's like, just, can I go back in the clubhouse and play canasta with the clubhouse attendant?
I mean, it's really come to that. It's almost sad. If I didn't hate the Red Sox so much, it would almost be sad, because the fact that the 30,000 fans there, 38,000, whatever it seats, it was like the collective Big Poppy needs a hug. Like, let's cheer till we get the curtain call on a Pesky's pole homer, on the outside of Pesky's pole. Like, it was another inch and it would have been foul.
It was kind of like that yesterday at Yankee Stadium when Rivera hit 92 in the gun for the first time in 5 years.
Well, they let him pitch to Evan Longoria as the final batter, and he got him to ground out to first. So that was an exciting moment, because there was the controversy on Saturday when Girardi made him intentionally walk him, and then Rivera was allegedly not happy about that after the game.
This guy, Alfredo Aceves.
Yeah, the ace. That's what they call him, ace.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
He really did, yeah. He's a minor leaguer, and they brought him up, and he's been, knock on wood, he's been pretty good in their bullpen, stabilized some things in Bruni's absence.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, what did he pitch yesterday? 2 innings, I think, right? He pitched the 7th and the 8th. They took Jabba out after the 6th, and he pitched the 7th and the 8th and was lights out.
Came up in May, in the month of May.
Yeah.
2.75 ERA, 19.2 innings, 18 strikeouts, 3 walks.
Yeah, that's been the huge thing, because they have these relievers that nibble and are afraid to throw anything over the plate, because when they do, it gets hit into Brooklyn. But
I've been monitoring, for fantasy purposes, I've been monitoring this Yankees setup guy situation, because you figure like whoever ends up establishing himself is going to win like 15 games, because no Yankee starter can last past like the 6th inning. And they're constantly playing these 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, 6-6 games.
Right.
And somebody is going to win 12 games out of the Yanks bullpen. So maybe it's Alfredo.
Could be. They played this great thing in the 8th inning when the Rays were making a pitching change. And they brought in J.P. Howell, which didn't work out so great for him. But they have this like montage from the movie 300 that they play.
Yeah.
About, like, now is our time, and we're going to give it our all and go for glory. And, oh, my God, I had goosebumps. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's one of these things they never would do at the old Yankee Stadium, but now they have, like, this modern, enormous center field scoreboard or video screen. We had actually walked away from our seats at that point because we were checking out different views from the stadium. So we watched the end with a bunch of other people standing along the third baseline. They let you stand behind the super expensive seats, but we were standing there watching. So we had, you know, closer to the action, great sight lines, and they played this thing on the center field video screen, and I was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. Crowd was so fired up.
How were the seats? How many of the seats were filled? The expensive ones?
Not all of them. It was, I mean, when we were in center field, and you would look at it, and you could just tell, like, you know, maybe 35-40% maybe filled. Mm. The rest of the stadium was full. I mean, it was a full house. It was a full train.
Loud?
Yeah, it was. It was fairly loud. It was fairly loud, especially the section we were in. I mean, you know, it's up in center field, so people were pretty vocal, heckling B.J. Upton. Maybe not as bad as the time you and I sat in the bleachers there and people were heckling Carlos Quintana. the big Q for the Red Sox. Remember that?
That got a little ugly.
And the guys were asking, like, how do you say various sexual references in Spanish so that they could yell it to Carlos in Spanish?
Yeah.
That was a little troubling.
I'll never forget. I was, like, in the early 90s, right before, maybe it was even the late 80s, we were in the left field home run seats, and Ricky was out there, and we were yelling at Ricky for like six innings. Ricky! Ricky! Turn around, Ricky! Ricky! Just for 2 hours. And then finally, like inexplicably, with like two outs in the fifth inning, as we kept yelling at Ricky, he finally turned around and he gave us like the thumbs up and like this big grin. It was like he was on a 2 hour delay. It was great. I want to tell that story at Ricky Henderson's Hall of Fame induction next month.
Well, you know who's like ridiculously popular at Yankee Stadium is Nick Swisher. The crowd just loves Lem some Nick Swisher. He runs out at the start of the game when all the players take the field, and he does like this open arm bow to the right field, and the right field bleachers and that whole right field section just goes nuts.
Really?
And then when they do the Yankee roll call thing in the first inning, you know, when they're like Derek Jeter, and then they keep doing it until the player acknowledges them. And they go around the horn, and so, like, they do it for Teixeira, and he kind of, like, nonchalantly, like, waves his glove. And same thing, Jeter is kind of like, yeah, 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 like, waves his glove. And A-Rod's like, whatever, he, you know, just waves his glove and just trying to, like, focus on the play. When they do Swisher, he does this thing where he turns on his heels and he does a formal military salute to right field. And they went crazy. I was like, oh, my God, Nick Swisher. He literally might be the most popular Yankee since Paul O'Neill. Like, it's just crazy.
And he's, even though he hasn't had a hit in five
even
months.
Even though he's hitting 235, right.
I got an email that I'm probably going to use for a mailbag, but I'm going to say it here anyway. This is from Chad in L.A. This is off our podcast last week.
Yes.
I was delighted to hear you and Jacko talk about how funny athletes really are. I feel like there needs to be a new rating scale called Athlete Funny. I derived this after I listened to a Cubs fan tell me how funny Ryan Dempster is. Just because you can crack up Dana Jacobson on cold pizza with your Dr. Evil impression doesn't make you funny. There needs to be a humor scale ranging from the top, and he suggests Barkley, to the bottom, fake Kobe hysterical laugh. That's a 0.0. That was good.
That's but pretty good.
It's like when I had I talked about press box hot, where there's like
a
woman in the press box. For some reason, it's like, you take somebody who's like a C- in real life, but in a press box becomes like a B+. Just gets blown at totally out of proportion, which is why Erin Andrews causes a riot every time she goes to a game.
Of course.
But I like athlete funny. Who would
That's
be the
good.
Funniest athlete? It would be Barkley, right?
Yeah, he's up there. What about Shaq? Is Shaq considered funny? He's kind of a jokester, right?
Shaq does have some funny moments. I sometimes feel like he's forcing it, but other times... But then there's like that type, like that Scott Power type, like I'm trying to be funny. And
right.
It's like you're not really funny. Damon right. Jones, those guys aren't funny.
Remember the guy in the 70s, what was his name, like Jay Johnstone or something? He played for the Cubs. He was kind of a journeyman baseball player.
Wacky, he was wacky.
He was always like this wacky guy, and he'd appear like on the Tonight Show or the whatever shows at the time. And
not funny.
Do all this like forced shtick, and he was just not, you know, we don't have that today, thankfully.
The only really, well, Rick Dempsey was another one who his whole thing was like in the rain delays, he'd come in and he'd slide down the tarp.
Yeah.
And that was like considered hysterically funny. Look, the only guy who was legitimately funny was Sparky Lyle from that era.
Exactly, yes.
Because he used to sit on birthday cakes.
Right. They'd have a birthday cake in the locker room and he wouldn't be wearing pants at the time, I believe.
The naked sit down on the birthday cake. I always thought he was a comedic genius. And in fact, I'm really upset that I've never sat on a birthday cake.
We should have pulled that out in college, although we didn't have that many birthday cakes. But
I should have done that at my daughter's fourth birthday party. I think that would have been a fun way to lighten things up.
Save it for your son. I think boys would appreciate it more than girls would.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, your daughter wouldn't have been a big fan of that.
So who do you think is the least funny athlete ever? It's a tough one.
Wow. Ty Cobb?
A virulent racist? Yeah, maybe.
He did say ever, so I'm thinking he wasn't the ball laughs like on the road trips.
I always thought like Steve Garvey was really unfunny.
Well, did you ever
remember Steve Garvey?
Did you ever read that book, what's it called? The Bad Guys Won? Jeff Perlman about the 86 Mets.
Yeah.
And they talked about, like, Gary Carter, who was, like, the nerdiest guy ever, and he tried to do these comebacks to, like, Strawberry.
Yeah.
And Gooden, and it was just like, no, you are, man. You know? He sounded pretty lame in that book. They had some kind of a, they had some kind of thing, like, you know, the New York Mets bus is swamped by all these women, and of course, like, Straw and all these guys are like, hey, you know? And Gary Carter's like, come on, guys, we gotta go. And then Strawberry said something offensive to him, and he's like, what, are you posing for pictures? Or something like that. It's in the book, like, it's just some ridiculous comeback. Like, you know, Gary doesn't really strike me as really fitting in very well with the 86 Mets.
Yeah, the born-agains usually comedically are suffering a little bit. No offense to the born-agains.
No.
But, I mean, there hasn't been, like, you know, we have, like, the Redneck Comedy Tour. Like,
yeah.
There's never been, like, the born-again comedy tour.
Well, Chet Curtis was kind of a, you know, every Yankee used to talk about how bummed out Chet Curtis would make them.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Because yeah, he was like a downer.
Apparently, like, in the clubhouses of baseball, they have, like, a lot of, you know, Playboy and Penthouse and porn and whatever. And he would go in there early and, like, clear it all out and throw it away.
Yeah.
And replace it with, like, you know, Boys Life or whatever, Reader's Digest.
I always thought, like, growing up in the 70s with the Red Sox, which was a really humorless, serious team. Yaz, to me, was the least funny guy on the team. Like, I don't think Yaz has not only ever cracked a joke, but probably never even laughed at a joke. He was just this chain-smoking Polish guy from New England. Just had already, like, he fully understood the curse of the Bambino, all that stuff. Like, carried every at-bat, the weight on his shoulders. He didn't seem like a fun guy to go out with.
No, super intense. That's true. I've never seen any kind of interview with him where he just seems anything but intense.
He's almost like, you feel like it's like a movie.
Yeah.
Like they made up a movie about this 70s tortured Red Sox slugger, and they're like, yeah, we'll call him, we'll give him a Polish name, and he'll have a really kicking Boston accent, and he'll reek Marlboro Reds, and it'll be Carly Stremski. But even now, like, when they interview him, he's always like, ah, yeah, when the Red Sox won there in 2004. He almost sounds like the bad JFK version of the Boston accent.
Yeah, and isn't he from, like, Long Island or something?
I don't know. He's got a fantastic Boston accent, though.
Yeah, I thought we thought he was from, like, Long Island, and he just had some kind of, like, weird, like, down east New England accent or something.
The real tragedy was right when Bork was really his Canadian accent, and he'd been there for so long, it was slowly morphing into this weird Canadian Boston accent, and they traded him to Colorado, but it was going to happen. It was like he was 50% there. It was like when we always used to joke about Detlef Schrempf.
Yes.
When he had the hip-hop twang to his German accent?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to go out there, y'all. I have another unfunny athlete. This, I can't believe he didn't come up sooner. A-Rod.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
has A-Rod ever made a joke?
Well, he's like the Kobe forced laugh, like the, you know, forced phony thing. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, no, I couldn't see it. If he did, it was like well-planned and thought out and all the repercussions, but no, it wasn't natural or organic, no. Yeah, that's a good one, A-Rod. You know, it was another funny one I was thinking of is Peyton Manning. I know that's going to pain you, but I mean.
No, he is.
He's
secretly
great on
funny.
Saturday Night Live, you know?
Yeah. No, he is funny. I think he hit it for a while, but it's kind of seeped out.
How about Tiger Woods? He wouldn't really strike me as, like, a barrel of laughs either. Nice guy, but I mean, you know, he's not really going to be, like, playing jokes out there again because he's, like, so competitive and intense, you know?
Yeah, I was when I did it was like I did some EA Sports thing with him a few years ago that I wrote about, and he was actually surprised me at a couple of witty comments.
LeBron seems pretty funny.
LeBron seems funny.
He seems LeBron, pretty good.
There's that YouTube clip of LeBron walking by Anderson Varejao and farts on his head.
He does what?
He's walking by Anderson Varejao and he farts on his head as he walks by.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's pretty good. See?
It's on YouTube. Look, all you have to do is search LeBron James farts.
It's a wonderful world we live in, isn't it?
It really is. It's so great.
It's unbelievable what technology has wrought. It's fantastic.
And speaking of a wonderful world, Joe Mead, you there?
I'm here.
So Jose in Miami sent us this email. Hey, Bill, first off, you're the man. Thank you, Jose.
Excellent job.
I was at the gym listening to your podcast today with Matthew Berry on the finals. I was on treadmill for a bit, and in the middle of it, I heard Joe Mead's voice. Immediately, because I probably forgot I was in a public place, I yelled out, Joe Mead! The girl next to me taps me on the shoulder and was like, are you listening to Simmons? We ended up talking for a while and I got her number, so for that I thank you.
Wow.
Now that might have been made up, but
That sounds made up.
I'd like to pretend that it's not made up. Well, I mean, if you're going to make it up, are you going to say you're Jose from Miami?
Maybe.
That's a weird story to make up.
If If they have a kid, though, I hope they name it Joe Meade, whatever, you know, whatever the last name is.
How about Jose Meade Jr.?
That's pretty good, yeah.
I like the fact that he yelled out Joe Meade, though.
That's good.
Joe, you were missed.
Let's just hope he didn't yell out Joe Meade when they were hooking up that night. Because that would be a little awkward.
Wait a second. We have to talk about the duel. I'm sorry to keep talking about the duel, but it really is the greatest thing.
You know, I'm glad you brought it up because
did you see the spelling bee?
I did, and you know what? You sent out emails during the day on Thursday, I think it was, and I had DVR'd it on Wednesday, but I didn't watch it until the weekend. And it was the biggest thing that you've ruined for me since you told me that Kevin Spacey was Kaiser Soze after drinking an entire bottle of champagne on New Year's Eve 1995, and somehow I said I was excited to see The Usual Suspects, and you blurted out Kevin Spacey's Kaiser Soze.
It was great.
Completely ruined the movie for me. So when I saw it, I was like,
"You were so mad." He didn't talk for like 4 hours.
I was like, because then when I eventually watched the movie, I got even angrier because I was like, "Oh, that's such a good movie," but I bet it was even better if I didn't know from scene one that Kevin Spacey was Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
So that bummed me out. But then you sent all these emails on Thursday and you had the spelling of throne and millennium and something else, and I'm like, damn it, now I know there's like a spelling bee. And then you talked about it somewhere, maybe it was in a mailbag or something or somewhere.
I think it was on Twitter.
And Twitter, and you talked about Brad, how he was the king of his greatest reality moment. He spelled throne without the E. And then you did the thing about how his wife to be was like, he's really good with his words. Which was a fantastic scene in and of itself. But, that whole show was great. And I really think it was the greatest performance by T.J. Lavin.
Yeah, it was great. Even gave us a You Killed It.
He gave it the You Killed It. But the way he said it, he goes, you're up to the seventh grade level. You really killed it, or something like that, which was like sort of a backhanded slap.
Yeah.
But he was even better when they did the thing where they pick who's going to go into the duel, and then they pick whatever game it's going to be, or challenge, or whatever it's called. And the women picked the one where it was the elevator, and Brad's wife got all fired up and was jumping up and down. And he was like, what are you so excited for? Like, it was like, how dare you be, like, excited when you haven't even gone through the challenge, the fire of the duel? His reaction was fantastic. Like, it was just, like, condescending and, like, what are you so excited about? It was great performance by T.J. Lavin.
It was awesome.
He really killed it right there.
There's so many great moments. I hate stepping on Jacoby, but we're going to have to because it's really one of the watershed reality shows that's been on. So the first part, Brad and his fiance, she's now nervous about the marriage, and the whole thing comes up about how he can't find a job.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm trying. It's the economy. And it's like, well, I don't know if he didn't go to college, I'm guessing, and he's been on reality TV for the last 8 years. Not sure you can get the vice president of a bank with those credentials.
Not to mention, as I was thinking, he was on Real World San Diego, and he was arrested at least once, if not twice, while on Real World San Diego.
Yeah, true.
So I'm sure that looks good in an interview. So you've got a couple of arrests.
Yeah. And then he's like, I'm trying to get a job, and then proceeds to go out and misspell throne. He spelled it Thrawn.
Exactly.
Let's just say a lot of pluses added up there. A lot of pieces to the puzzle, to the Brad unemployed puzzle.
Not to mention that he's really diligently looking for a job as he jets off to New Zealand for a month to play some idiotic game with other real-world retreads.
Well, that's what, you know, it really looked like she was just going to leave. And then they went for a long walk and the cameras weren't allowed to come. And I think he explained to her on that walk, look, we have like a 1 in 6 chance of winning 200 grand here.
Right.
It's going to take me 8 years to make 200 grand a conventional way. So please don't go. If you want to break up, let's break up after. But right now we got to play the odds.
Right.
Because we might not see this money again.
I like how he talked about like how that was she was trying to deny him the life that he had grown accustomed to or something of like, I'm like, what life? Reality television? Like hanging out with Anissa? Like that's the life you want, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't quite get that.
Somebody should have written a 500-page book. Like Michael Lewis, I know he's tackling important stuff like, you know, baseball and the stock market, stuff like that. I'd much rather see him write about this reality culture.
It's fascinating.
These MTV guys. And the odds of that marriage happening, what would you put on it?
Oh, God. 500-1. Well, put it this way. The odds of them celebrating a 5th anniversary...
Yeah.
I'd say it's 100,000-1.
100? Wow.
I think it's off the board in Vegas. I don't think you can put any money on it in Vegas because there is absolutely, unequivocally, no way that they will be married for 5 years.
Well, House had a great idea. Actually, hold on. Joe Mead, call House at work.
Okay.
Wow.
Joe House.
What's happening?
What is happening?
I'm doing a podcast with Jack Owen. We had to call you. You have 2 minutes?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a threesome podcast.
It's our first one. I wasn't
podcast,
ready.
That is.
It's a menage a pod. Hey, this is the first time in podcast history somebody has simultaneously called two friends at work without telling him they were calling. So
wow.
I'm very excited for that. Anyway, we're talking about the duel, and I want you to tell Jack O your celebrity spelling bee idea.
It was a few different ideas. I don't know if I'll be able to remember all of it, but I love the idea so much. I think we should definitely figure out ways for it to appear in sort of all walks of life. Like, I would like to see every reality show have a spelling bee. I'd like there to be spelling bees on SportsCenter. I wish there were spelling bees on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
Which was spelling. I think Jimmy Kimmel should have a spelling bee.
That'd be fantastic.
I mean, really, it is just a completely untapped source of comedy.
You were saying, though, like, NBC should just have Celebrity Spelling Bee every Tuesday night at 8:30.
Yeah, that's it, right.
That's
yeah.
That's. I would watch that. I would watch a half-hour spelling bee every week. What's better than spelling bee?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if Terrell Owens, like, had to spell raconteur... Or like you had Eli Manning trying to spell like tedium.
No. I mean, those guys, just give them throne.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if they can beat Brad.
Keep it simple.
I'm so with you, and God, I hope somebody's listening.
You know what would be great? Like House talked about, that's a great point, House, like doing it on a reality show. Like if you had Flavor of Love or Rock of Love, those contestants trying to spell like cat. That would be fantastic.
Well, that's right. And I especially appreciated the device that the real world folks use by associating it with a grade level. So like what grade level would you use on Flavor of Love?
Kindergarten.
What's pre-K? Feeling? Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know what else would be good for Bachelor and Bachelorette too? Like if somebody's going home tonight if you can't spell throne.
Oh, yeah.
And they all try to take a crack at it. I got to, House, I know you have to go, but while we have you on, I got to pitch Jacko my idea that I pitched you last night at like 12 in the morning.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So here's the show, Jacko.
Okay.
You, me, and House, we go to all these different parts of the country that have like records for eating food, like the place like in Houston that nobody's been able to eat the 96 ounce
T-bone or whatever.
Yeah. And if you eat it, you get to eat for free.
Yeah.
And we just take House and we go to these different places and we watch him eat. And the hook would be that he's not a competitive eater.
Right.
He's just a guy who gets hungry and likes to eat a lot. And the show would be called House Record.
That's good. I like it. And what would we do? We would just provide commentary and enjoy the victory?
We'd be road tripping with him, getting him excited, making jokes the whole time, and then just having commentary while he ate.
We can, like, drive around in an RV. That's good stuff right there.
Isn't that a winner?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Dane Cook set the bar pretty high with the RV thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my hope would be that it would be as good quality as Torgasm.
It's a tall hill to leap, let me tell you.
Yeah, maybe we'll do wacky stuff like I'll leave a poop in the toilet. Like
as long as nobody tears an ACL.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
Oh, that's right. That did happen.
Yeah.
So I had this whole idea. I was all excited about it. Then House said that somebody in the Travel Channel has a show where he goes and eats special food in these different cities. And
oh, really?
As part of it, he'll do like whatever record there is in the town.
Oh.
I feel like that kind of ruined my idea.
Yeah, man versus food.
Yeah,
oh,
man
really?
Versus food. So this, but then I went on, I checked out his like vlog or whatever, and the guy was annoying. I feel like he should give up ownership of the idea and let us do it.
Love Joe House. People would love Joe House as the rest of us do. So
listen,
I've been more popular than whoever this guy is on Travel Channel.
I'll never forget the 2004 All-Star Weekend in L.A., being at Mel's Diner with Joe House, where he ordered three different entrees and then proceeded to eat them all. And the guys from the Celtics are still talking about it.
I was hungry. I was really hungry that night.
We were in New York like 6 weeks ago, and we had dinner, and they had a chicken for two on the menu, and Joe House ordered it for himself.
That's ridiculous. There's no such thing as chicken for two. That's my point. I still maintain that. I mean, turkey for two, okay. You're going to put a 15-pound bird up there and call that for two, okay, fine. But, I mean, chicken for two, come on.
Yeah, a house record. And then I was saying, ESPN2 could run this. ESPN2 could do a 13-series commitment for a house record.
Absolutely.
If they could have Madden Nation, if that's allegedly a sports show and it's guys playing video games, then a normal person trying to eat like a 96-pound steak.
America's going to tune into that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, so Dodger Stadium has all you can eat in right field?
Yes.
So I'm going to take House for a column. And, like, how many hot dogs should I ask him to eat? Two an inning?
No, not two an inning.
You couldn't do two an inning?
I could, but then I'd be sick.
You know, that same premise was done already by one of your ESPN colleagues. Not on TV, but in a column.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Riley brought somebody there to Dodgers right field.
Can I do an idea that hasn't been done already? Or how about this? Can I come up with an idea that hasn't been done? I mean, it's like...
Celebrity Spelling Bee.
Yeah, that's brand new.
I love that. God, I love that.
So I went 1 for 3, and it wasn't even my idea. It was Joe House's.
No, but it's all right.
Well, wait a second, House. We could still go to right field Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I think there's a whole thing with the food where we could associate it with sport events or sport towns or whatever that would be a little bit different from, you know, what folks have done before. We could make out our own special, you know, Simmons brand thing.
I'd like to see you try to eat like the record for brains.
I wouldn't. Why do I have to do that?
Because you're the show's named after you. You'd have to do it.
Why do I have to eat nasty stuff?
Yeah, I'll
try and set the record for Arby's. Like, I'll go to an Arby's and ask them what's the largest number any of you can think of, number of roast beef sandwiches anybody's ever ordered and eaten in one sitting, and I'll beat that record. Guarantee it.
Yeah, that's,
lock that in.
I've
Same
seen
for
you
Chick-fil-A
have,
sandwiches.
Well, I've seen you have like 4 roast beef and cheese Arby's.
Yeah, and that's a snack.
That's a warm up.
That is a warm up.
And the funniest thing is, people think Joe House is like 330 pounds, and he's actually like
svelte,
of normal size, maybe even a little svelte.
Yeah, I've been trying to lock it down.
It's a weird thing. You know, what would be funny is if House Record became a hit show, and then like it splintered all of our 3 friendships apart. Like House got a big head. House left his wife. House started dating Audrina from the Hills. You're like, we don't know House anymore.
All 3 of us end up like the 3 Corys meeting at a diner with like hoodies and sunglasses. Let's do this.
And then I order 4 entrees. Is that exactly the way it would go?
House turns into Kate from John and Kate plus 8.
Oh, right.
Every week there's a different story about House like belittling one of his employees.
You could have all 3 of us sitting on a couch, just have a dramatic, where's this going to end?
You tell me, House, how long do you want the show to keep going? I'll call you guys later. I'm out. All right, House. We'll let you go.
All right. Thanks, boys. Later,
talk
House.
Later. Late. 3-man podcast. It was exciting.
It was exciting. And, you know, people email you and send messages that think that Joe House and I are the same person.
It just got solved
so
right
hopefully
there.
We just have proven that we are, in fact, 2 different people.
I don't see how. I mean,
I don't think we sound alike at all.
No, Joe House sounds like an African-American, and you sound like an Irish guy from Hartford.
Right, exactly.
I don't see it. I mean, you both have deep pipes, I guess.
I guess so. Maybe we have the same Holy Cross lingo. Maybe that's it.
Joe Mead.
Yes.
Would you watch House Record?
Of course. You going to go all over the country?
Yeah, I want to go all over the country. I want to go to, like, Alabama and have Joe House eat the most catfish anyone's ever eaten at some catfish ranch.
Yeah, that would be – I like this show. That would be exciting. I'm excited for the road trip. I'll sign up right now.
You're in. Okay.
I'll take a leave of absence to go make House Record a star. Hit show.
It's one of those shows that the title's so good, somebody's just going to want to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
anything
you
else we want to talk about?
What about Beat the House? Is that better than House Record?
That's pretty good, too. God, I can't even come up with a title for my own show. Freaking had to trump my title.
I like House Record.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thanks for throwing me under that bus. How's your knee?
Does this hurt? maybe we'll have to have the listeners.
There you go. They'll have to decide. Yeah.
House Record. Maybe I'll Twitter about it. It's some Twitter feedback. House Record versus Beat the House.
Yeah.
The thing with House's name, though, is that there are a thousand different
titles.
You can do Burning Down the House. I mean, you can go in a bunch of different.
Oh, my God. Since it's a road trip, what about Roadhouse?
That's good, too. That might be the best one.
House just, there's so many permutations with the word house that it's just fantastic.
Joe Mead, what do you think of Roadhouse?
I think that's the new number one.
That's a pretty strong one. Ugh. All right, so Johnny, how are you feeling about the Yanks this week?
Well, I feel good about them overall, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm nervous about them going to Fenway for three games based on how the Red Sox have treated them this week. I mean, treated them this season.
Does that start tonight?
Tomorrow. They have
one more
game against the Rays tonight. They start tomorrow. Tuesday.
Oh, beautiful. So we're taping this on a Monday, but it's running on a Tuesday, and when it's running...
So what happens tonight, then? Tonight it's Josh, meaning Tuesday, it's Josh Beckett against A.J. Burnett. And then the one that really makes me nervous on Wednesday is Wakefield against Wong.
Oh, Wakefield does well against you guys.
And Wong doesn't do well against anybody. And then Thursday it's Sabathia against Penny. I'm much more happy about that matchup.
So you probably split Wednesday, Thursday, and the winner of the series will be Tuesday night.
Yeah, Beckett-Burnett. And last time Burnett couldn't hold a 6-0 lead. And Beckett's been pitching well.
I have a question for you. Why would they possibly pitch Wong in Fenway Park?
I have absolutely no idea, and that's the question everyone in New York and the papers has been asking, too. Why don't they pitch Phil Hughes? I don't know. Now that Wong's in the rotation, I guess they're going to pitch him. And they were like, yeah, he pitched okay the other day. No, he didn't. He was terrible. Gave up 5 runs in, like, 5 innings.
Hmm.
I mean, he's just been brutal. And they, at Fenway, Big Poppy will probably – although Big Poppy has a quiet 6-game hitting streak.
Quiet's the right word.
Yeah. He'll probably tee off on Wong and be set to go for the rest of the season now. That's my concern. But
I can't remember this because I'm old. Has Burnett pitched against the Red Sox this year?
Yeah, he couldn't keep – I just said a 5-0.
Yeah, that's right. He blew
he
that Saturday game.
He couldn't hold that 6-0 lead, right?
Right.
That ended up being like 13-12 or whatever the final was.
But that was at Coors Field Yankee Stadium.
No, it was at Fenway.
Yeah, you're right.
You better let me drive on Roadhouse.
I'm not
going to be allowed to drive the RV.
I'm old. I'm turning into my dad. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I fell asleep during a Red Sox game the other day with my son. He was awake. I was asleep. It was like 5:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, my God.
And we were lying on the couch, and I just kind of zonked out. And I woke up. I was like, my dad. I was like, is Beckett still in? No idea what's going on.
Jeez. Troubling.
So Burnett and Beckett, you don't want to go against Josh Beckett right now, Jim.
No, I don't. I know.
He's been wheeling and dealing.
I know. He's got the stare back and everything. Yeah, he's been pitching well, unfortunately.
We tried to trade for him like a week ago in the league we're in because we could kind of see it coming 2 starts ago. And did not get him. We were very disappointed. But Beckett's one of those guys. It actually reminds me of the pitching version of Manny. When Manny would start to get on a streak, you could kind of see it coming about 2 games before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Beckett's the same way. Something I don't know what happens. What it's almost like some sort of chemical makeover. His demeanor looks different. His stuff looks different. You can just see it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's pitched well. I know. I don't like the Yanks' chances in that one. I certainly don't like their chances against Wong. And
Johnny, you know who doesn't qualify for that previous sentence? Dice K Matsusaka.
Yeah, oh my God, I know. I was going to say. I mean, Lester pitched great on Saturday night. He flirted with a no-no. And Beckett's been pitching well. But beyond that, I mean, the national treasure is not a national treasure.
He's not. In fact, you could say he's our Wong almost. Not as bad, but
the guy that you just dread
to see. I just, when I see him, I'm just like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, he's just been terrible.
Mm.
And just still nibbles, and although yesterday when he threw strikes, he got pounded. So I guess I can see why he nibbles. But
I got to say, I knew that Lester no hitter, and he could have thrown one on Saturday night. Like his stuff was that good.
Yeah.
But it was just a classic thing that happens with the no hitter. The offense got hot, and there's pitching change. It was like a 30-minute inning.
Yeah.
And then by the time he came out, and then Michael Young's up. And you're just thinking, oh, man.
The big poppy curtain call took some time, you know. So.
Yeah. All right, so what are you ranking this week, Johnny?
I'll go like a 2, just because I'm nervous about this week. I'm happy about the Yanks, so I'm feeling good about their overall prospects, but I don't love their chances this week. The Red Sox make me nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
I forgot to mention one thing.
Mm.
I was driving home from Dodger Stadium on Tuesday night, and I was listening to a radio show, and the guy devoted a whole segment to Mark Teixeira's takeout slide.
Oh, really? Paul O'Neill-esque, warrior-esque, yeah.
The Vicente Padilla game, and he was like, this is the moment when Mark Teixeira became a Yankee.
Yeah, there was a lot of, The it crowd loved it, too.
Like, all right, if he goes 0 for 20, everybody's going to forget that he had a nice takeout slide on May 17th.
That's true.
It was June
4th. But he really, every guy has his moment when he becomes a Yankee. Like, a couple of years ago, Giambi hit it. When he was his first year with the Yankees, he hit a grand slam in May to beat the Twins in the rain. And they were like, oh, now he's like a Yankee. He was really embraced by the fans. And that was Teixeira's. Like, Teixeira got hit, and he got, he's kind of robotic, but he got fired up, and he had that great takeout slide at second. Yeah, that was fantastic. Crowd ate that up. They loved it.
How about the part where every time he goes against Padilla, Padilla throws at him, but he's, like, never charged the mound or anything? Because Vicente Padilla is terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's weird. It's, they were, like, teammates in Texas, and there was speculation. I forgot who it was, David Cohn or Paul O'Neill or somebody. I was doing the game, and they were like, maybe there was some bad blood when they played together in Texas. They just don't, he just doesn't like him.
I don't think Padilla likes anybody.
I guess not, because there was no history of, to share a home ring off of him. I think he hit two home runs off of him when Padilla played for the Phillies in Interleague, but it was like, or maybe when he played for the Braves, but there was like no reason for there to be like ugliness, really.
It's always funny when the guy's teammates saw him out, like his catcher after the game was like,
Yeah,
I don't know why I hit him. That was really strange.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Right, because they know they're going to get dusted off as somebody did. Burnett threw at somebody, which was just outrageous. He gets suspended for 6 games. He didn't even get thrown out or even hit the guy.
Do you think if Teixeira had been found in the locker room the next day, the victim of a Colombian necktie, they even have a police investigation?
No, it would have been an open and shut case. Absolutely.
Padilla frightens me. He scares me. He's like out of a season 2 Miami Vice episode.
Yeah, he is. His teammates were gutsy to sell it, throw him under the bus because he might take them out a lot easier than he could Teixeira.
He might. I mean, they waived him. They're basically like, anybody? Any interest?
Yeah, somebody take him, right?
$7.2 million rest of year, anybody? Hey, anybody. Going once.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny.
All right, buddy.
Worst of luck this week.
Hey, same to you.
Talk to you then.
All right.
So I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
That concludes, ends, finishes, wraps up another BS Report. With all the talk about baseball, the upcoming football season, and hockey playoffs, Bill Simmons neglected to mention something which frankly cannot go unstated. Okay, here goes. For a limited time, hurry into Subway and enjoy the new Tuscan Chicken Melt. Lovely seasoned chicken, melted bubbly cheese with olive vinaigrette, piled so high with the crisp veggies you love on your choice of freshly baked bread. All that deliciousness with 9 grams of fat. It's part of a fresh fit meal.